Hello. This is Dr. Don Cowan coming to you once again. Before is just right before Thanksgiving, and now it's right after Thanksgiving. A great time for being able to see people that we don't often see. For myself, it was pretty much the same as usual, and but it was a good day. And when I left you, back in the previous program, I brought an example, and I thought I had left you hanging, and I'm not sure if I completed the story. So it was about the lady that called and said there were her house had become possessed with other spirits. And I said to her that I really don't need to go down there, because there's no distance in the realm of the spirit that you, whether you're thousands of miles away or in the next room. As far as the spirit goes, you're always right at the same place. So when she was saying that she was having problems with always being fearful that at night when they finally would go to bed, that all the front door would open, and then she would and her children would hear people or spirits or whatever walking up and down the hallway, and the flickering the lights on and off. And so I said, well, that's simple enough. I said, I have no power to stop that in and of myself. But because of Jesus, the name of Jesus, that was the power that easily stopped those demonic forces. And I just, in Jesus' name, commanded those out of her house, that they never return to her house and never send any of acquaintances or whatever of those demons to her house to harass her. And from that time on, she was set free, and I didn't know, I just never heard until about a year later she called and let me know. So I think I told about three quarters of the story, and then I think I didn't quite complete it, so I'm sorry about that. We've been going through Matthew, but today is want to share some very unusual experience. I've never really had gone into a hospital for very many tests ever, and so all the doctor decided he wanted a good picture of what was inside of me. And so sent me in, and they fill you up with all this barium and you drink and drink and drink and drink and drink and drink. You finish that bottle, then you have another bottle, have all that. And then, of course, you get in your little natural hospital gown or whatever. And at least they now have some hospital sort of shorts or something to put on also underneath. So that's encouraging. And went down and they got inside this CT scan machine, and they started putting all sorts of holes in my arm because they also wanted various IVs and to be able to inject various things so they could contrast what was by color or what was inside of me. So it was interesting. I haven't seen any of the pictures, but I just got back about an hour ago from that. And so if I have to stop talking and disappear for 4 or 5 minutes, that's because of all that lovely stuff that barium they gave me. So, but it was just part of life. And I want you to have a blessed life, an excellent life in everything that you do. In Matthew 14, chapter 13, we see the feeding the 5,000. When Jesus heard it, he departed from there by boat into a deserted place by himself. But when the multitudes heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. And when Jesus went out and saw a great multitude, he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. Then a little bit later it says in verse 19, then he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, and looking up into heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitudes. So they all ate and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments that remained. Now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men besides women and children. So we see the people who had been with him for a couple days. And his compassion was there days before to do their healing. And then he just kept teaching. And they were then growing weary with lack of food. And also out of that compassion brought more miracles. Well, Jesus, as I've always said, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And this still goes on in many countries, especially in the country of Madagascar. It's a huge island off the side of Africa towards India. And the part that this woman went, many had threatened her with knives to her throat that they were going to murder her that day. And she just kept on going and established an orphanage and a feeding place. But most of the time, they did not have food. And so they would try to find one or two pieces of different types of fruit or some other maybe some fish or something. And to God, she believed that God was the same yesterday, today, and forever. And God, on a consistent basis, multiplied the food for all those hundreds and hundreds of children. And I know that went on for 10 years. I've not heard a report back on that in the last 5 years, but I do know that many people had then made that a pilgrimage of theirs just to see the miracles of God are still for today. In verse 34, it says, when they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized him, they sent out into all that surrounding region and brought to him all who were sick and begged him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched it were made perfectly well. See, this is, as I have mentioned, I think pretty much every time, it's a whosoever will. It's salvation is whosoever will. It's healing is whoever will. And so, in the Bible, earlier I read to you a few weeks ago that all of Syria were bringing their people down into Galilee because they knew that there was somebody that could heal them all. And that's exactly what happened. In chapter 15 and verse 15, then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. Now, Tyre and Sidon are a lower part of Lebanon. It used to be, at one time, part of Israel, but in recent years have been Lebanon, which is pretty much totally controlled by Syria. And it says, and behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. And he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it into the little dogs. And she said, yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be unto you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Now, without understanding the background, there's a sentence or two there that might seem very hard to understand or harsh by Jesus to even say. But while he was here to fulfill his mission, he was called by his Father to come to the Jews. And of course, the Word of God declares that those he came to, his own, received him not. In verse 30, it says, "Then a great multitude came to him, having with them the lame, and the blind, and the mute, maimed, and many others. And they laid them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. So the multitude marveled when they said that the mutes were speaking, and the maimed were made whole, and the lame were walking about, and the blind were seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel. Now Jesus called his disciples to himself and said, 'I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat, and I do not want to send them away hungry, lest they faint on the way.' Then his disciples said to him, 'Where could we get enough bread in the wilderness to fill such a great multitude?' And Jesus said to them, 'How many loaves do you have?' And they said to him, 7 and a few fish. So he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves and the fish and gave thanks, broke them, and gave them to his disciples. And they gave them to the multitude. And so all ate and were filled. And they took up 7 baskets full of fragments that were left. Now those who ate were 4,000 men, besides women and children. And he sent away the multitude and got the boat and came to the region of Magdala." So we see miracles, miracles, miracles. Matthew, as I said, makes a big deal of this, because when you hear some of Jesus' teachings and what he speaks to the Pharisees, that they would not be guilty before God if they had not seen the miracles. And that's because they saw the miracles, which had never been done in history before. And yet, in spite of this, they would not accept Jesus as the Messiah. And so that is why Jesus said, "You are condemned, and you would not have been, but you have seen all these miracles, and yet in spite of that you do not receive the testimony of these miracles." And of course, this is Matthew makes an emphasis of this because Jesus made this contrast of why the Jews, you have to remember all the Christians were Jews for the first many years. So when we say Christians, actually it was many years before people were first called Christians. And that was up in Antioch. There's various Antiochs around the area, but this is the one in right near the sea, just as Turkey, before Turkey begins, the country of Turkey today. So we continue on here, and we continue in chapter 17. A boy is healed, and when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him, and saying, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him." Then Jesus answered and said, "Faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me." And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately, said, "Why could not we cast it out?" And Jesus said to them, "Because of your unbelief. For assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." However, he goes on and says about this type of demons, "However, this does not go out except by the prayer and fasting together." Weeks ago, probably about 7 or 8 weeks ago, I related a real life story that paralleled this, but I didn't have this example here. But this is the example that was exactly what happened. Now here, this was, of course, much different because Jesus had just been with Peter, James, and John, and they had been up on what was called the Mount of Transfiguration, and that's when they all saw Moses and Elijah come and minister to Jesus. And so Jesus said, "Now don't tell any of the other disciples or anybody about this until after the resurrection." So I had a lady, and so as I said, for some of you that might have listened about 6, 7, 8 weeks ago, you may have already heard this. There was a lady that came to me. She just happened to be walking on our campus, and this was back in 71, I think, before I graduated with one of my early degrees. And she said she'd gone to numerous churches in town, and she said that her child was demon-possessed and needed somebody to deliver her child from the devil and the demon. And nobody would believe it. And so I said, okay, why don't you explain what the problem is? And so she went on to explain that the child, excuse me, the child, from the day it was born, constantly had fevers and all sorts of torment attack it. And, but she said, I asked her if there's something before she was born, he was born, that how this could have come about, that her child could have been demon-possessed. Well, she said in that time that the 9 months that she became pregnant, and through her pregnancy up to delivery, her best friend was a witch in Harlem that had just come over from Africa. And she would spend most of every day over at this witch's house. And so the problem started, as I said, immediately at birth. That, and also that there was never, she declared that there was never a week that they didn't at least 2 to 7 times have to take their child into emergency. That either the temperature of the child would be above 105, or various things the child would do. When they'd be going down the freeway, they would open up the door and jump out. And miraculously, the child wasn't killed either time. And then while in the home, the child would destroy anything around the home, exceedingly hyperactive. And also then he would go into epileptic fits, and of course they would be become totally rigid, and all the normal things of epilepsy, and they declared that he was an epileptic, but he would be often have 5, 6 attacks a day of epilepsy. And so this child was exceedingly tormented by the devil. And I said, okay, if you don't have somebody to do that, I said, I know from Scripture that this is a place that this was handled and the child was delivered. And so I said that one of the requirements was before doing anything that we must pray, or I needed to pray and fast. And so I said, I won't do anything today, but tomorrow, past this time, a couple hours, whatever, past this time, I'll come to your home. And so that's just what I did. I said, but in the meantime, of course, I fasted. What's fasting? That's not eating anything. I mean, as various people, well, sometimes eat something or whatever, but I wasn't eating anything. I did happen to walk around my backyard. There did happen to be a berry bush, and accidentally ate one berry. But of course, God knows our feebles, and so that wouldn't get in the way, just because of His great love and grace, because His love for that child, and He wanted to bless that child and show people that the power of God was still alive in the United States. And so the following afternoon I did go over there, and the lady let me in, and she said she had just put the boy down for a nap, that his temperature was well above between 105 and 106. And so I just then said, okay, I'm going to pray. The Bible says to pray with our understanding and to pray in the Holy Spirit. It says to sing with our understanding and sing in the Spirit. Well, in this case, of course, it's what we said, and in the English, and also in whatever languages I was given that afternoon. And there's no way that I would know what languages God has given me. Many, many languages, but they're not mine. It's the Holy Spirit. We just have to be willing, and He is well willing to use us and allow our voice to be used by Him to pray according to God's perfect will. That's what the Bible says, that when the Bible, when the Spirit prays through us, that it prays according to the perfect will of the Father. And so that's because the Spirit knows the Father and prays exactly what needs to be prayed. And so I speak the words. I don't know what I'm saying. All I know is I'm speaking God's words into the situation. They are not human words, but there's His words for that moment. And so That's what I explained to her. And so there was both prayer for all the healing, but mainly you start out with breaking the curses over the child, pleading the blood of Jesus upon the child and that household, that is putting a fortress around that place, and that those spirits had to leave the child and never return, or any other spirits with it. And so it's I declared that in the English of what I knew was my authority in the spirit. And then I also prayed in the spirit, which what I knew was God praying through me according to his perfect will. That didn't take very long at all, about 15 minutes at most, probably. We went on in to the other room, and the temperature had completely gone away for the child, and his hyperactivity has gone away, and all his destructiveness and his epilepsy went away. And I got I forget, that's been so long ago, whether it was 3 years later they saw me, or they called me up, but they said that from that afternoon, that child was totally delivered. And all the time before, every single week, at least an average of over 5 times a week, that child was brought to the emergency ward of the hospital, and that made a total ceasing of that very afternoon. That is because of the power of Jesus' name over devils. And I had no power, but I saw that's what Jesus did. And so I just did what he was doing. So I was just trying to follow in the footsteps of my Lord. I wasn't thinking that, well, maybe it'll work or maybe it won't work. I already knew I had power and authority because it was clear in Scripture, and that what I spoke, every demon that was attached around that boy or that home would never come back again. And that's what happened. That boy, I'd never heard after he grew up, but I heard after several years, and from very thankful, grateful parents. And we have to remember to always give all the glory to God when God does such things. If we are stupid enough to take any of the glory for ourselves, that breaks off or slows down or becomes like a fog of what God wants to do. But as long as we turn around and be sure everybody knows who was the one that cured that child, then God is well willing to use you again and again. And you noticed I happened to be, I wasn't just a Christian. I was a Christian, and then I had been baptized in the Holy Spirit and spoke with other tongues. You had to be able to have that power of the Holy Spirit working up and through you for that power of God to work. And so it's like you get saved, and some people are so in love with the Lord when they get saved, they get baptized with the Holy Spirit at the same time. Sometimes it might be years for people. Well, I had gotten saved, I don't know when I was a young child. But I'm not sure how old I was, probably 24 or 25, when I was baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, does that make you any better a person? Of course not. And if you think if somebody else is around you that talks about being baptized with the Holy Spirit, well, yes. But you still have to live your life. It's just a matter of now you can pray in the Spirit and you are able to allow God to pray through you, for you. Otherwise, you've got yourself to pray through you, for you, which is great, and we're supposed to have that. But it also says to pray not only with our understanding, but pray in the Spirit. So I encourage you to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your might. And love your neighbor as yourself. That first and great commandment, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You can't be successful as far as in your relationship with your Creator unless that's number one in your life. The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. Before that, Jesus had mentioned all so many different needs that we, of course, daily have need of. And so, God's interested about us. But the important thing is that He's first in our life. And when that's true, then that pleases Him and allows Him to work more in your life. Now, I know there's some wonderful people out there, some absolutely fantastic people listening to this broadcast. Yes, there's those who are saved, and then there's also those who are about to be saved. My question to you is, which one are you? Repeat this after me. Father, forgive my sins. Jesus, come into my heart. Make me the kind of person you want me to be. Thank you for saving me. Now, where's Jesus right now? Did you hear where? I'll repeat part of this over. And so, of course, you'll know. Repeat this after me. Father, forgive my sins. Jesus, come into my heart. Make me the kind of person you want me to be. Thank you for saving me. Jesus, if you prayed that prayer and you meant it from your heart, then Jesus is now in your heart and you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Now, does that mean you're instantly changed? Well, certainly, you're instantly changed the most dramatic, most important way as far as your eternal destination. If we believe something, that means that our lives are radically changed. They're totally changed because we believe something, and all of a sudden, because of that new belief, everything in your life, you adjust to that belief. And that's part of that seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. So we want you to be healed and saved, and to know, to really know your Creator, because he so much loves you and he wants you to know him. And as I said, don't settle for a mediocre Christianity, which most everybody settles for. It's half of the Christians have settled for something far less than God wants and desires for them. Right now, I want to give you my name and my address and let you know that I am still sending out 100 divine healing facts to anybody that will write in to me. And if based on availability, there's another a few books that I have. One is called The Good Life, one is called The Best of Life, one is called The Power of Positive Desire, and then there's also one that is especially about the new miracle life now. This is more for, well, people not only in the Western culture, but also even to Muslims and Hindus and Buddhists and Confucius. And so, depending on what you want, I'll send you this one book, and if you ask for another book, and if you sort of say what subjects you want to know about, I will try to match up giving you another book that will truly bless you. So it's been good talking to you today. I need to give you my address. My address is Dr. Don Cowan, and it's at P.O. Box 90, and it's Parker, Washington, and that's P-A-R-K-E-R, Parker, Washington, 98939. Once again, the P.O. Box is P.O. 90. So, we covered a few more of the miracles of God and also modern-day miracles. We mentioned at least three major miracles as far as demonic, and then also like the feeding of the thousands, also is currently going on in the world because they're in desperate areas that there's no roads for literally, I think as far as I had heard, that it was 700-800 miles, and in the area that they were reaching out to these children. And so we just want to bless you, want you to walk with God, and I want you to grow in the Lord. And let me pray for you right now. And if I offend you, write me. I'm going to pray in English, and then I'm going to also briefly pray in the Spirit as well. Father, in Jesus' name, we come to you in that name because that's the only name under heaven and earth that all these miracles are able to be taken place. It's always in the name of Jesus. Jesus didn't go around and say, in my name, in my name. He just declared things. But we go around and declare things also. But we declare things in Jesus' name. And so, in Jesus' name, we ask for the conviction of the Holy Spirit to come upon these people that they might know what is your will for their life and what decisions they need to make. God, truly bless them, because that is such a huge thing, is to be able to make decisions, especially at critical times in one's life. Kiri kapasi kakanana roboto diarateke, tekerabota nekere somopodoro shniata, zekira, the makalababakina, patabokotopodo. Zini birboto nidia shamatata semokoleke te, namasi mi momomate, masutupotele kirishna vana semakarande, li sini di te masamatototishna,
Jamata seminata lekirishnate, ishamata samatole kishni, othumutu, u semite leki, u shamate lekasamato, u shamate samatenya potonamokotate, mantna samato, mishima tapasute bukondoreshnate. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless everyone of these listeners in Jesus' name. Well, I look forward, God willing, to see you or speak to you next week at the same time. So have a week where the Holy Spirit works in you and has his full pleasure in your life. In Jesus' name, amen.